Going to start Rosh Hashanah Daf Chavav Amud Aleph. The Mishnah says you have to blow shofar on Rosh Hashanah. Does the word shofar really appear in the pasuk in connection with Rosh Hashanah? Rashi says it doesn't really say. On Rosh Hashanah it says Yom Teruah Yelachem, on Yom Kippur Shel Yovel. Once in a Yovel, once every 50 years, you have to blow shofar. Yom Kippur Shel Yovel. There it says V'habarta Shofar Teruah V'chol Artzachem V'chodesh Hashvi. There it says the word shofar. It doesn't really say by Rosh Hashanah. But the Gemara has Gzeira Shava. Rashi says the Gemara has Beperk Basa Daf Lamadal. There's a Gzeira Shava Chodesh Hashvi connecting the two. That the Tkiyas on Rosh Hashanah every year should be the same as the Tkiyas on Yom Kippur. How do you know that on Yom Kippur you have to blow Teruah? Because it says so on Rosh Hashanah, Yom Teruah Yelachem. It never says it on Yom Kippur. How do you know you need a shofar on Rosh Hashanah? Because it says it on Yom Kippur Shal Yovel. So the two are connected. That's what the Mishnah says later. Shava HaYovel. Shava, where's that Mishnah? Here it is. Chavav on the base. The last three lines in the Mishnah. Shava HaYovel Rosh Hashanah L'Tkiya V'L'Brachas. On Yom Kippur Shal Yovel, you blow shofar, Tkiya Teruah Tkiya, three times. And you recite the Shemana Esrei of Malchus Chanas Shofas. They have the same dinim. Okay. So the Mishnah has a Machlokes HaTanaim. The Mishnah starts off, Kol HaShofas Ksherim. Any shofar is good. This is Taka. So any shofar is good. So Tosis writes over here, Chutz Mishal Pora. Tosis raises a question, and they give a suggestion. The last line, Mishema Enam Chalulam Ve'enam Ruyim LaShofar. Tosis comes up with a possibility. This is famous from the Ramban. The Ramban had a debate with the Meshumad, and then he had to run away from Spain because he won the debate, but he had to leave because the Catholic Church was out to get him. He won with flying colors. So he ran away to Eretz Yisrael. He snuck away. And then he held a drasha when he came to the Ramban Shul in Yerushalayim. So he gave a drasha on Rosh Hashanah. It must have been a five-hour drasha. He went through all the dinim of Hilchas Rosh Hashanah. I don't know how the people stayed up to listen to such a long drasha. So this is famous in the Ramban. But Tosis already has it. If you have an animal that has a solid horn, the normal shofar has a horn on the outside and flesh on the inside. So you have to scrape out all the flesh on the inside. That's called the Zachrus. Just like the Abraham Zachrus wasn't the Abraham Nakrus. So too over here, the flesh inside is called the Zachrus, and the hard part is called the Nakrus. So if you have a hard horn, a tough horn, that has no flesh inside, you're going to drill a hole through it. So Tosfos says, Mechadish, that maybe it's no good. That's what the Ramban says is no good. And the Ramban says it based on the word shofar, that the word shofar is Miloshen Shofaris. And Shofaris means that it has to be hollow on the inside. The Gemara says, Katcho b'zachrusa is kosher. That's a Gemara later. Let's say instead of scraping out all the flesh inside, they just drilled a hole through the flesh, and when you're blowing shofar, you still have a lot of the flesh there. So the Gemara, the Shulchan Aruch quotes that from the Gemara, Katcho b'zachrusa is kosher. But you have to have a zachrus and a nakrus. If you only have a solid horn, that's no good. So that's Tosfos and the Ramban say that. Then the Ramo and Shulchan Aruch quotes a Ran. The Ran is Mesupik. The Ran doesn't say B'toras Vadai. The Ramah quotes it as if the Ran said B'toras Vadai. Nachreinim Taina, the Ran just wrote B'toras Sofik. What if you have a horn from a behemoth Temeya, from a non-kosher animal? So the Ran is Mechadish. He's not sure. He says maybe that's not acceptable based on the Gemara and Behemah Madlikin. The Gemara discusses what kind of an animal was the Tachash, the how to make the Mishkan in the days of the Midbar. So they had to use Orist Choshen. So what kind of an animal is it? So the Gemara says, look at the animal now, we'll find out. The Gemara says, we don't have any Tachash available. It was an animal that only existed at that time. It doesn't exist Bizman Hazem. So the Gemara wants to know, was it a kosher animal? Was it Malager Mafis Paras? So was it not a kosher animal? So the Gemara says, Behechreach, it must have been a kosher animal because we have a tradition, Halacha L'Moshe Misinai sounds like L'Gemiri, a tradition, lehuchshur lemalacha shemaim alor behematar belvad. If the halacha says if the Rebbeinu Shlomo told Moshe Rabbeinu has to use orist choshim, the hides from the tachash animal for the covering on the mishkan, so it must be that it was from a, it must be the tachash is a kosher animal. So that's where the Gemara asks the kasha. why do you need a halacha l'moshe m'sinai? L'uchshu l'melecha shamayim alor b'hem ator b'lbad. Don't you know it from the pasuk? L'manti etoros Hashem eficho, ki b'yad chazok atiach Hashem in Mitzrayim. So the poshim pshat of the pasuk, l'manti etoros Hashem eficho, the Jews should keep on talking about, we should wear tefillin, and inside the tefillin it mentions about Yetzias Mitzrayim, and we should forever talk about Yetzias Mitzrayim. What's so significant about talking about Yetzias Mitzrayim? Because all of the Yud Gimel Ikori HaEmuna that the Rambam lists off were demonstrated to the Jewish people on the occasion of Yetzias Mitzrayim, that there exists one God in the world and heaven above, and he has complete control over everything, and he knows everything that's happening. He rewards the righteous and he punishes the wicked, and there's Torah Min HaShemayim and everything's Chav Yonish. All the Ikori HaEmuna were demonstrated at that time. So it's always important to review, to always talk about Lamanti Yosash Torah Hashem Meficha Kibyar Chazaka Atziach Hashem Mitzrayim. We should always talk about Yetzias Mitzrayim. Every day we speak about it briefly, and on Pesach night we talk about it a lot. So the Gemara has an additional level of interpretation of the pasuk that when you're writing Torah Hashem, when you write a Sefer Torah Tefillin and Mezuzah that has Divrei Torah on it, Sefer Torah has an awful lot of Divrei Torah. The Tefillin have four parshios, and the Mezuzah only has two of the four parshios, but still, Torah Hashem Meficha. Lemanti etaras Hashem beficha. When you write Divrei Torah on parchment, it has to be menamuta beficha, the parchment. If you have an animal, let's say you have an elephant, the elephant skin, strictly speaking, is kosher. It's not bisar behemah tamea. Only the basar is asad. The atzomis are not roi lachila. And the or, most of the or is not roi lachila. There is, and let's say chicken skin is roi lachila. A lot of people eat chicken skin. The doctors recommend not to, for your good health, but it's roi lachila. So the Mishnah and Chulin lists off, and Horav Arayta, the Mishnah lists off the certain parts of the skin on the animal that are edible. It's roi lachila, it's metametum asoichlim. And most of the skin on, most of the hide on an animal is leather. It's not roi lachila. If you cook it, you mix in sugar, you make it into roi lachila. But the way it is, it's not roi lachila. So what do you mean? Lemanti etaras Hashem beficha menamuta beficha. What kind of a drush is that? It means he can only use such parchment that was made from such a hide that the flesh of the animal is muta beficha. The hide is always muta beficha. The parchment is always edible. It's always muta beficha. It's not osa bachila. But the halacha says you can only use parchment made from hide of an animal which is kosher. If it's a non-kosher animal, the Gemara says if it's nevela trefa from a non-kosher animal, that's acceptable. As long as the animal is a kosher animal. Nevela trefa is osa bachila. But the hide is muta bachila anyway, so it just depends on the type of the animal. Is it a min behemah toira or is it a min behemah tamei? So the Gemara says, why do you need a halacha l'moshe m'sinai if it's a drosha from a pasuk? Manti etaras Hashem eficha. So the Gemara says, well, the halacha l'moshe m'sinai isn't really necessary for tachash. The Rebbeinu Shalom told Moshe Rabbeinu he should use a tachash. That says in Chumash he has to use a tachash. The Gemara says it happens that it was a kosher animal. It had to have been a kosher animal, otherwise the Rebbeinu Shalom would never have told them to use Oris Choshen for the Mishkan, because we have Halacha Moshe M'Sinai, L'huchshu L'malacha Shemayim, L'or Behemot Har B'Vad. But I don't need the Halacha Moshe M'Sinai for Tachash. That's a Pasuk in Chumash, you got to use Tachash. And the fact is that it was a kosher animal. So where do you need the Halacha Moshe M'Sinai? So the Gemara says, I don't need it for the Parshios of the Tefillin, I need it for the bottom of the tefillin. The parshias have the retar written. The bottom don't have it in the retar. The Gemara says, not true. The Baishal Rosh has a shin. Our meaning is we make two shins. The Gemara talks about one shin. So the Gemara says, the Baishal Rosh has a shin, and the shin is one letter of the retar. One letter is also learning. When you come to the Olam Amos, they're going to ask you if you learned. So you say, yeah, I learned the letter shin. So you're going to get a little chelik and olam haba for learning the letter shin. That's also Talmud. But if you had the opportunity to learn all of Talmud Bavli, Rishami, Sefer Sefer Mechilta, and everything else, then they'll give you a little candy for learning the letter shin, but they're not going to give you the real olam haba. You're not going to get Gan Eden for learning one letter. Each person has to learn according to how much free time he has. So the Gemara says, the Shabbai Shal Rosh, I don't need a halacha l'moshe m'sinai of the Huchshu and Malach HaShemayim. That's Torah Hashem Eficha Min Amuta Eficha. So the Gemara answers, I need the Halacha Moshe M'Sinai for the Ritzuas. Or Rabbi Kivega says, the Gemara could have said, I need the Halacha Moshe M'Sinai for the Baishal Yad, but there is no letter shin. Or the Gemara says, for the Ritzuas, fine. So the Gemara there talks about a halacha l'moshe mitzina l'huch shalom alecha shamayim v'alar behemetor b'lvad, and that's why you can't use leather from a non-kosher animal for ritzuas of a bayishal yad or for the oris d'choshim for the mishkan. So the Ran raises a question, maybe that's because these are tashmishi kedusha. Maybe shofar is only tashmishi mitzvah. The Gemara Megillah has a brisa. The brisa distinguishes between the various religious articles that you buy in a Judaica store or that you have around the house. So you have tzitzis is tashmishi mitzvah, shofar, sukkah, lulav, esrik, tashmishi mitzvah. The esrik bizman mitzvah, so is huktzel mitzvah. So the sukkah, when you sit in the sukkah, it's huktzel mitzvah. That's a din deraisa. It's osabano, it's huktzel mitzvah. But after the zman mitzvah is up, so you can throw it in the garbage. Tashmishi mitzvah, after the zman mitzvah is up, on his rokin. But then you have tashmishi gedusha, like say, v'tar tefillin mezuzah, or the tefillin zekel, or the mentale of the Sefer Torah, or the Aron Kodesh, where that's tashmishi kedusha. And even after the mentale is worn out and torn and you can't use it anymore, you're not allowed to throw it out in the garbage, even though it has no psukim, nothing written on it, has the status of tashmishi kedusha nigdosm. You have to bury it, you have to put it in shemus. So the Gemara recognizes that there's a difference between tashmishi mitzvah and tashmishi kedusha. What's the rule? How do they decide which religious articles constitute tashmishi kedusha, the higher level of which of them are tashmishi mitzvah? So the Gemara never says. The Ramban in the Mulchamas on the bottom of the Rif, in the end of Masechus Moed Katan, in the last parak of Moed Katan, the Gemara gives all the dinim of ripping kriya and avelus and burial, some of the dinim of kfura. So the Ramban there discusses a passage in Masechus Machas. Masechus Machas is not really from the Tanoim. It was written by the Goinim, like all the Masechtas Ktanis. Masechus Sof from Masam was written by the Goinim Eretz Yisrael. It wasn't written. They were Goinim in Eretz on Goinim in Bubble. So the Masechtas Ktanis usually followed the Yerushalmi. That's what the Magen Avraham writes in Hilchas Kriyas Atur. It's written by the Goinim Eretz Yisrael, so we don't always follow what it says there. So Masechus Machas, they quote a Machlekes HaTanoim, whether you're allowed to bury a mace with his talus. And it's very cryptic. They don't explain what the issue is. So the Ramban there in the end of Masechus Ma'ikotn suggests that the Machlekes is whether tzitzis has the status of tashmishi mitzvah, tashmishi kedusha. What has it got to do with what? So he says if it's tashmishi kedusha, the higher level, then it's a bizoyan to the kedusha to bury the mace with the talus on. But if it's only tashmishi mitzvah, that's okay. Why is it toli zebzeb? It's very unclear. Why should he toli zebzeb? So we usually, in the Braisa Maseches Megillah, when the Braisa draws the distinction between tashmishi mitzvah and nizrokim, after this mana mitzvah is up, you can throw out the whole schach. During Sukkot, it's hooked in the mitzvah. After Sukkot, if you don't plan to use it again, you can throw it out in the garbage, you can burn it. You don't have to put it in shemus. And the same thing, an old talus, an old esrig. What do you do with an old esrig? You put it in shemus. You don't put it in shemus. Tashmishi mitzvah. It's my mitzvah, so it's hooked in the mitzvah. After Sukkot is over, so the halacha says, Nizrokim, you can throw it in the garbage. The Shulchan Aruch quotes the Rashba, you shouldn't throw it in the garbage together with the dirty diapers and with the chicken bones and with the fish bones. You should put it in a separate bag and then throw it in the garbage. So the Gemara Megillah, when it quotes the Braisa, the distinction between Tashmishi Mitzvah and Tashmishi Kedusha, doesn't quote any Machloikas. The Ramban claims it's a Machloikas Hatanoim and Masechus Machas, where the Tzitzis is Tashmishi Mitzvah, Tashmishi Kedusha. The Braisa in Megillah doesn't quote any Machloikas. It just says tzitzis is tashmishi mitzvah. What's the criterion? How do you decide? What was the guiding criterion to determine whether any given religious article is tashmishi mitzvah? Tashmishi kedusha, the Gemara doesn't say. So Rav Chaim Volozhin writes in Nefesh HaChaim, and Rav Soloveitchik gave a whole Yahrzeit Rosha based on this assumption, that tashmishi kedusha are those things that have Divrei Torah written on them. If it's Torah Hashem, if it has Divrei Torah written, so it has Kedusha. And the Rambam writes to the extent that it has Divrei Torah written, to that extent it'll have Kedusha. Sefer Torah has more Kedusha, the Sefer Torah that was written, Top Shin Ayin Beis, has more Kedusha than the original Aseres HaDibros. Even though HaMichtav Michtav Elekimhu, VaHaLuchas Maisel Elekimhu, even though the Luchas were engraved by HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and it's priceless, the Lucha, the Aseres HaDibros are priceless, as an archaeological piece, as a collector's item, it's priceless. Moshe Nikita says the Torah is not priceless. It has a price, $50,000, whatever. But nonetheless, which one has more Kedusha? So the Rambam is Mashma Beferish, that since the Sefer Torah has the Aseret Sadiris plus many more Parshios, so normal Sefer Torah has a higher level of Kedusha. Depending on how much Divrei Torah you have written, that'll determine how much Kedusha it has. So the Rambam in the end of Hilchas Sefer Torah sounds explicitly like he's saying that a regular Sefer Torah has more Kedusha than Aseret Sadiris. And then the Rambam says that a Tefillin Shel Rosh have less Kedusha than a Sefer Torah, because you only have four parshas. Tefillin Shel Yad, the Gemara says, have lower level of Kedusha than Tefillin Shel Rosh, because the Tefillin Shel Rosh have the Shin, has one letter more, has the Shin. Tefillin Shel Yad doesn't have the Shin. And Mezuzah has less Kedusha than Tefillin, because Mezuzah only has Shema V'Hoyayim Shemaya, and the Tefillin have Dalet Parsha, Shema V'Hoyayim Shema Kadesh V'Yo Kivi Yachon. Tzitzis don't have any Psukim written at all, doesn't have any Shin, doesn't have anything. So the Pashtus is, that's why the Gemara assumes that Tzitzis is Tashmishi Mitzvah, and only Tefillin, Sefer Torah, Mezuzah, that's Tashmishi Kedusha. So the Ran raises the possibility that maybe a Shofar from a Behemoth Tameo should be no good because Lehuchshu L'malach HaShemayim Alor Behemoth Torah B'Levad. Why is he Mesupik? The Ramah quotes it, L'alocha, the Ran said it's no good. Acharim said the Ran never said Behechlet, the Ran said Mistapik. Maybe it's no good. Why was the Ran Mesupik? So that's what the Acharim say, because maybe this halacha l'moshe misina l'huchshu l'malach ha-shamayim, maybe it only applies to tashmishi kedusha called malach ha-shamayim. The orist choshim for the Mishkan, that's part of the Mishkan that has kedusha. For Tzuas, it has kedusha. But if it's a tashmishi mitzvah, since it doesn't have any kedusha, it only has kedusha l'zman. L'zman mitzvosim, the kedusha disappears after the zman ha-mitzvah is up. So maybe the din of l'huchshu doesn't apply.
The Rambam and Hilchos where he says you can't have Hesach HaDas and Tefillin Shel Rosh. So he quotes the Gemara, the Gemara says, Tal HaFar makes sense, right? My name is Abra Elas Har Abdes. But he quotes the Gemara that's about, he mentions specifically, the Parshas Tefillin has, I think, 21 Shem Hashem. Why is that relevant? The Tal HaFar should work, it's more of a Kodesh, because it has more than two words in the Brit Torah. Right, it does have the words Kodesh HaShem, and Tefillin have, I never counted, but a lot of words. Why do you need to mention Dafka Shem Hashem? It should be...
I don't know. The Rambam says 42. Each one has 21. It says 42 times Shem Hashem. The Shal Yad and Shal Rosh together. I don't know. Good question. But as the Rambam, the Gemara made a Kal V'Chaimer that this is Megula and that's Mechusa. But the Gemara's Kal V'Chaimer was here it only says Shem Hashem once. There it says many times. Okay. Okay. So the Rambam is just saying over the Gemara and he counted it up. That's 42. Okay. So both together, Shal Yan Sharosh, each one is 22. You multiply by 2, it's 42. Each one is 21 times Shem Hashem. You add it together, it's 42. So just saying over the Gemara then.
Also, there's a Ritza in, I think, towards the middle of Rosh Hashanah that mentioned that brings it down to Malam the Kodesh Meridin, why we blow Shofar in the order we do. Because Tekiah Shvarim Shofar, Tekiah has the most kolos, so it's more Makudash, so you have to do it last. It's Malam the Kodesh Meridin.
Maybe you can say just the kolos
that have a
mitzvah
itself, but
there's
no shayach to Shem Hashem or
Torah
there.
Malam HaKodesh, the Gemara has that. You have to have Kriyas HaTorah on a regular Sheni V'Chamish, you have to have three aliyahs. Each aliyah has to have a minimum of three psukim, but the Sach HaKol has to be a minimum of 10 psukim. So one of the three aliyahs has to have four psukim. So the Gemara has a whole discussion, which way is the best way to arrange it, if you have an option, if you have a choice. So the Gemara says, if you have, the Kohen gets three, and the Levi gets three, and the Yisrael gets four, Malam HaKodesh. What's Malam HaKodesh? What, it's holier? No, it means you save the punchline for the end. That's one way to arrange things. That's one way to arrange. He's just talking about when you're arranging mitzvahs, you should do this mitzvah A first, then mitzvah B, a first do mitzvah B, then mitzvah A. So one klal is Malam HaKodesh. Malam HaKodesh means you save the more important mitzvah for the end. Then you have, on the other hand, you have a klal Mekudesh Rei Mekudesh Mekudesh Kodesh. So these two are contradictory. It says in Shulchan Aruch, Malam HaKodesh will Omer Reed, and first you put on the talis, then you put on the tefillin. Because the talis is only Tashmishi mitzvah, and the tefillin is Tashmishi Kedusha. So you should be Malam HaKodesh, save the more important mitzvah for later. So the Shagas and all the Achranim asked, it should be just the reverse. Mekudesh Veinu Mekudesh Mekudesh Kodesh. That's a Mishnah in Zvachim on the Pei Tes. beginning of Perakolatada. If you're interested in performing two mitzvahs, what's the rule? Which mitzvah should you do first? Which mitzvah should you do second? So the Gemara says, if there's some way to determine that one of the two mitzvahs is more important than the other, usually we don't know. How do you know which mitzvah is more important? But if there is a way to determine, then you should do the more important mitzvah first. So these two contradict each other. So that's what the Shagasari and other Achanim talk about. Okay. So again, so the Ran is Mesupik, whether Shofar from a Behemoth Tameo is acceptable or not. Maybe the Klal of Lehuchshu, Lemalech HaShemayim, Alor Behemoth Torah Bilvad, maybe it applies even to Tashmishei Mitzvah, even though there's no Tashmishei Kedushin. That's the... last year we learned Yivamis, so we learned Perek Mitzvahs Chalitza. So the din is that the sandal Shal Chalitza has to have a din of a nal. Cholza nal amel raglai. So the Gemara has a machlekes atanoim. Is there a halacha that nal has to be leather, or is just a halacha that it has to be megan, has to protect the foot? What if you have a wooden shoe? What if you have a sneaker? Does that have the din of a nal? So it's a machlekes atanoim. So we usually assume for purposes of chalitza, for purposes of Yom Kippur, nilas ha-sandal, for purposes of Tisha B'Av, for purposes of sitting Shiva, we assume that nilas ha-sandal is only a nal of leather based on the pasuk in Yecheskel, that when the Rebbe Shlom took Bnei Yisrael out of Mitzrayim, it was like giving birth to a baby. Am Yisrael came into existence, a new baby was born, and then the midwife who delivers the baby, or the doctor who delivers the baby, cuts the cord and ties a knot, and washes off the baby, and puts on a powder, and puts on a pamper, and puts on an outfit, and puts on shichalach, puts on the shoes and socks and whatever, dresses up the baby. So the pasuk says, by the Rebbeinu Shlom took care of Klal Yisrael right after Yetzias Mitzrayim, like you take care of a little baby till the baby, till the infant grows up. And the pasuk uses the expression ve'enolach tochash, and I put on these little shoes from tachash leather. It means Rabbi Shalom took care of all the needs of the Jewish people when they were traveling in the Midbar 40 years. So the Gemara says that pasuk seems to indicate that nal has to be dafke tachash, has to be or. If it's not from leather, so it's not called nal. So that's how we pasuk, that a wooden shoe is not acceptable for chalitza purposes, and sneakers are not acceptable, it has to be dafke leather. And on Yom Kippur, the yisa to wear shoes is only leather, and if it's anything other than leather, we assume it's permissible. So Tosfos quotes the Rabbeinu Tam that the chalitza shoe has to be leather from Or Behemot Torah. If it's Or Behemot Torah, it's no good, because the Gemara says in Bamei Madlikin that the tachash was a kosher animal. And the pasuk that teaches us nal has to be leather, and olach tachash says that tachash was a kosher animal. So would the Rabbeinu Tam say that the prohibition, all the shoes that we wear are horse leather? To make a chalitza shoe, they have to go specially out of their way to take a leather from our Behemoth Torah. So would anybody say that on Yom Kippur you're allowed to wear our regular shoes because it's made from horse leather? Because it's only called the nal if it's made from leather from our Behemoth Torah? Because the Gemara learned that from that pasuk, ben olach tachash, that pasuk in Yecheskel, that it's only called the nal, ben olach, if it's tachash, if it's leather. The Rabbin and Tam said it has to be leather from a kosher animal. We don't assume like that. We assume you're not allowed to wear regular shoes even though we know it's horse leather. You're not allowed to use it. Why we machmer by chalitza has to be dafka leather from a kosher animal? So Doruch HaShulchan writes Poshib Shat, and other Rachamim write like that as well. Rabbi Natam didn't mean from the word Vainolach Tochash, and Tachash is a kosher animal. Rabbi Natam held that the klal of Huchshurul and Malach HaShemayim or Behemot Torah Bilvad doesn't only apply to Tashmishi Kedush, it even applies to Tashmishi Mitzvah. So the chalitza shoe is a Tashmishi Mitzvah. You want to use it to perform the mitzvah of chalitza. It has to be from a kosher animal. So that's what we are machmer over here by Tkiya Shofar. The Ran was Mesupik, so we're machmer that it has to be Dafke Shofar from a kosher animal, and it has to be have a cholo. If it's Einem Chalul, and if it's not a Shofaris, then Tosis and the Ramban say that it's not acceptable. On the side of the Shulchan Aruch, the Be'er HaGoylo usually just gives Mar Mekaymus. Usually doesn't give any comments. Once every 75 pages, he makes a comment. Usually he just gives marmakims. So over here, he quotes the kasha that all Achran and Pilpul about. The Gemara says, how do you know whether any given animal is kosher or not? It has to be malager mafiz paras. Malager mafiz paras is kosher. So there is a Gemara chulim where the Gemara says, if an animal has horns, it's a simon that it's a kosher animal. So how is it possible to talk about a shofar from a behemoth tameya? If it has horns, it's a simon that it's a kosher animal. So what is he talking about? He's talking about Dovash Laboli Yodom. There are more quotes around and it doesn't exist. So they have a whole pilpul about this. What in the world is the Ran talking about? If you have horns, doesn't that itself indicate that it's a kosher animal? Okay, so there's a whole discussion. So again, so the Mishnah Chavav and Aleph says, Kol ha-shofes ksherim, chutz mishel para. What's wrong with parah? Mipnei shehu keren. It's called a keren in Chumash. In biblical Hebrew, it's called a keren. And on Rosh Hashanah Yom Kippur, the pasuk says va'avarta shofar trua. That pasuk only says by Yom Kippur shal yaiva, but we learn gzeirah shava chodesh hashvi, chodesh hashvi. So both tkiyas of Yom Kippur shal yaiva and tkiyas every year of Rosh Hashanah have to be by using a shofar, and it's not called a shofar if it's shel para. That's what the Tanakhama says. Every other shofar from any other kosher animal is good. Rabbi Yosi disagrees. Well, what's wrong if it's called a keren? Well, kol shofar is nikru keren shenam b'mshach b'keren hayayvel. On the occasion of Maimon HaSinai, there was tkiya shofar to indicate that there was gilu shechina, and the pasuk uses the word keren, and it was really a shofar. So you see that the words are interchangeable. So what does it bother you if a parah is referred to in biblical, the horn of a parah is referred to as a keren? So what? A keren is also a shofar. So Rabbi Yosi disagrees. Tanakam holds every shofar is good. Any shofar from a kosher animal that's hollow inside, that has basar inside, that has Zachris inside, is acceptable for shofar. Yeah. You learn on Amid Beis, the next Mishnah, Chavav Amid Beis, has a whole machloike satanoim, the Mishnah with the Gemara. Shofar shel Rosh Hashanah has to be shal ya'al pashut. Has to be straight, it shouldn't be twisted. We don't pass like that. We pass on the shofar shel Rosh Hashanah is supposed to be twisted. So the Mishnah, what is a ya'al? So Rashi says some kind of a wild animal that climbs in the mountains, as it says in Baruch Nafshi, Tosfos quotes Tehillim, chapter Kuf Dalet, that's Baruch Nafshi, Horim ha'gvoyim la'yeelim, sloyim achsal ha'shvanim. So the Horim ha'gvoyim, that's where the Yeelim climbs. So the Yoel obviously is some kind of a chay, it's not a behema. Tosfos quotes that the Orach learns that the Yoel is a female sheep, a very domesticated animal. So what's it doing climbing on the mountaintops? So Tosfos disagrees with the Orach. Whatever it is, the yoel is some, what, it doesn't matter whether it's a chay or a behema. It's an animal that has kosher animal that has a horn that's straight and is not twisted. So the Tan and the Mishnah holds that the shofar Rosh Hashanah should be straight and not twisted. And then the Gemara says we don't pask like that. Amar Rav Levi mitzvah shel Rosh Hashanah sheim kippurim bikfufim. It should be twisted. It should not be straight. So it's a machlekes. How does Reb Levi come off to argue with the Mishnah? Gemara says because there are other Tanoim who disagree with the Mishnah. It's a machlekes. So how do you reconcile the Mishnah on Amud Aleph with the Mishnah on Amud Beis? Mishnah on Amud Aleph says every shofar is good except for Parah. Mishnah on Amud Beis says the only thing that's good is Yal Pashut. So we don't pass like the Mishnah. So we pass like the Reb Levi in the Gemara. He said it has to be Kfufim. Has to be kfufim, has to be twisted. And Amud Aleph doesn't say a word about twisted. Says any shofar is good. Any shofar is good. So isn't this a contradiction? So it's a 2 days in Taisus, the long Taisus on Chavov and Mabez, the Ramaskol Shayal Pashut, and it's a machlekes, the Ramam and the Ravid. On Amud Beis, Amar Ablevi, right after the Mishnah, Amar Ablevi, mitzvah shal Rosh Hashanah, v'shal yom perim kfufim. The word mitzvah usually is a dead giveaway that it's only a mitzvah lachatchila. It's not miyakeh b'diyeved. So half of the Rishonim say, the whole Mishnah on Amud Beis is only lachatchila. Mishnah on Amud Aleph is the real din. That's li'kuva. Tanakam holds that par is no good. Rabbi Yosi is machshir par. Tanakam holds every shofar from any other kosher animal is good, twisted or straight, as long as it's a kosher animal, okay? And as long as it has a cholul, it has a cholul inside. If it's solid, then it's no good. Solid horn is no good. And a behemoth tomato is no good. Mishnah on the base is talking lachatchila. Would you recommend lachatchila should be kofu, or recommend lachatchila should be pashut, straight? That's one opinion in the Rishonim. The other opinion in Rishonim is no. That the Mishnah on the base is chaylik on the Mishnah on Amud Aleph. Tanakama on Amud Aleph says, kola shofar is ksherim except for parah. And the Mishnah and Rab Levi and Amud Beis are disagreeing with the Mishnah and Amud Aleph. They hold that this is Likuva. Either that it should be Pashut is Likuva, straight without twisting, or Dafke Kfufim, Dafke Shal Ayil, should be twisted. So that's two days in Tosfos on Amud Beis, whether the Mishnah on Amud Beis is Choylik on the Mishnah on Amud Aleph, a different Tana. Well, no, Amud Beis goes Lachatchila, it's not Miyake B'riyevet. Yeah. So on Amud Aleph, the Mishnah says that the only Shofar that's not acceptable is Parah. And the reason given is that it has to be called a Shofar. In the biblical Hebrew, the horn of a Parah is only referred to as a Karen, never referred to as a Shofar. So the Gemara and Rabbi Yossi says, every shofar is referred to a keren. So keren is the same thing as shofar. So the Gemara asks, Shapu kam Rabbi Yossi? Rabbi Yossi has a good argument. Mamir HaSinai was Shmoy Kol HaShofar. It says it was a shofar and it's referred to as a keren. So you see that the words can be used interchangeably. So what are you puzzling? What are you saying that a keren shalpor is not acceptable because it's called a keren? Every shofar in the world is called a keren. The words are identical. So the Gemara asks, V'Rabbanon? What do the Rabbanon do with Rabbi Yossi's argument? Shapu kam Rabbi Yossi. What do the Rabbanon answer? After the Rabbanon, kol ha-shofar. The answer is, kol ha-shofar is yikru shofar v'yikru keren. They're referred to either as shofar or as keren. However, the horn of a parah is only keren ikri, shofar la-ikri. It's never referred to as shofar, only referred to as a keren. Fine. So that's what it says in the Mishnah, that we pass like the Tanakhama against Rabbi Yossi, that a shofar shall parah is not acceptable because it's never referred to as a shofar, only referred to as a keren. Then the Gemara has a discussion. Ula Omar, about 10 lines into the Gemara, on Amud Aleph, Chav Amud Aleph, the line begins with the words Ula Omar. So Ula Omar, what's really wrong with a shofar shel para? So the Mishnah says what's wrong, that it's only called keren, it's never called a shofar. So he gives in Gansan a different reason. High in the time of the Rabbanon, the real reason is Kid Rav Chizna. The Omer Rav Chizna, Mepnima, Eina Kain Gadol Nichnas, Bebig Dezov, Lefnai, Belefnim, Lava Ravoida. Kain Gadol on Yom Kippur has to do two sets of Hakrobus Karbonis. It has to be Makro Karbonis that appear in Parshas Pinchas, the Tminim Umasofim, like any Shabbos and Yontif in Chalamoid. Then it has to be Makro, the set of Karbonis that are described in Parshas Achrimos, the Kapara. Two different sets of karbanos. And the Mishnayis and Yuma have a tradition. If you read the Chumash, it doesn't sound like that at all. So the Torah Sheval Peh has a tradition that there's one pasuk in Achrimos that's written, Shaloy ala Seder. Rashi and Chumash quotes, Kol ha-mikra kula is kosov ala Seder, chutz min ha-mikra zeh. One pasuk in the middle is out of order because we have a tradition of the Torah Sheval Peh that the Avodah on Yom Kippur was divided into five units. First, the Kohen Gadol wears big day zahav, that's what he wears all year long. He does one unit of Avodah, then he switches, he wears Big Day Lovan, then he does a unit of Avodah, then he does Big Day Zov, Big Day Lovan, Big Day Zov. Divided into five units. If you do it the way it's described in the Chumash, only divided into three units, Big Day Zov, Big Day Lovan, Big Day Zov. And the Torah Shebaal Peh says, it's supposed to be Chumash Tfilas Vasar Kiddushin. Tavu Kohen Gadol Mekadosh Baba Yom. Any Kohen, when he puts on Big Day Kuna, the Gemara has a drosha from a Pasuk, Bizman She Big Day Malayim Kunasam Alayim. When he puts on Big Day Kuna, that is endowed with a higher level of Kedushas Kuna. A kohen is not wearing Big Day Kuna, also has Kedushas Kuna. A kohen marries a Grusha, he's not wearing Big Day Kuna. And we're going to give Malkus if he lives with the Grusha. A kohen Duchens, he's not wearing Big Day Kuna. He does Pidyon HaBen, he's not allowed to be Metamel LeMeisim, he's not wearing Big Day Kuna. There's a Kedushas Kuna Sheba Migdush, and there's a Kedushas Kuna Shebig Vulin. So the Kedushas Kuna Sheba Migdush requires Bizman Shebig Day Malayim Kunas Malayim. So the din is whenever a person's level of Kedusha is elevated, let's say a non-Jew is becoming a Jew. A non-Jew is converting. So he has to go to the mikveh to get the Kedusha Yisrael. Or let's say when there was Pchiras Halevim in the beginning of Chumash Bamidbar, Shevet Levi was chosen, L'Shores in the Beis HaMikdash, so they had to all go to mikveh, it says they had to be Tovel in the mikveh. And then when Aaron Abonav was chosen as the Kohanim from Shevet Levi, so they had to go to mikveh. Whenever a person is endowed with a higher level of Kedusha, he has to go to mikveh. So the same is true. If a regular Kohen comes to the Beis HaMikdash and he puts on Big Day Kuna, he gets a higher level of Kedusha. It becomes Kedusha's Kuna Sheba Mikdash. So he has to go to the mikveh. So we have a tradition, Gemiri, we have a tradition, Chomish Tvilas, the Kohen Gadol has to be Tovel in the mikveh five times on Yom Kippur because each time he's about to put on Big Day Kuna, he's going to get a higher level of Kedusha. So he goes to the mikveh that he puts on the Big Day Zohar. Then he takes it off, so he falls down to the lower level of Kedushas Kuna Shebigvulin. Then he wants to put on Big Day Lovan. So big day low, and it's going to give him a higher level of kedusha. He has to go to mikvah. Then he takes it off. Then he wants to put on big day zohav to do the middle unit of avodah. Each time he wants to put on big day kuna, after taking off the other gun, he has to go to the mikvah because he's going to be elevated to a higher level of kedushas kuna sheba mikdash. So that's why he has to go to mikvah five times. And kiddush adayim raglaim is a din whenever you put on big dekuna, whenever you take off big dekuna. So he has to do kiddush adayim raglaim 10 times on Yom Kippur because he has 5 units of avodah. He puts on and takes off, puts on and takes off the big dekuna. So that's how we know that the avodah was divided on Yom Kippur into 5 units. And when the Kohen Gadol does the avodah, the second unit of avodah and the fourth unit of avodah, he wears only big day lovan. He doesn't wear big day zov. That's the halacha. That's what it says in Chumash, in Achrimos. So what's the Gemara asking here? Mipnei ma kidi Rav Chizde. Mipnei ma en kain gadol nichnas b'big day zov lefnai v'lefnim lavod avoda. What big day zov do you want him to wear? The tzitz? You want him to wear... What is he? He's explaining the reason for the din in the Chumash. It's a little strange. Darshin at time of the crow. He's just explaining the reason for the din. Why does the Torah say that for the purpose of the Kohen Gadol going in the Lefnai V'Lefnim, he has to have a different set of big day kuna? Only once a year he wears it, the big day lovan. Only twice a year, the second unit, the fourth unit of Avodah. So Rav Chizkiah is just explaining the reason for the din in the Chumash. That's what it means. But once the Torah has the din that he wears big day lovan, he's not allowed to wear, in addition to the big day lovan, big day zov. It'll be meruba begadim. There's a din, if he's mechusa begadim or meruba begadim, so the avodah is possible. You have to wear it the exact begadim that the halacha prescribes. If he wears too many begadim, so it passes the avodah. So Rav Chizkiah is explaining time of the krah. He's, okay. Yeah, but a lot of times in the Gemara, gives reasons why does the guy not pay kefil, the gazlan doesn't pay kefil. And why is there a difference between shor v'seh, tvoch ha-mechor, ha-misha bokeh sham tachas ha-shor, v'arbet zoyin tachas ha-seh. The Gemara, how come over here it's 4, here it's 5? The Gemara gives reasons. So the Rav Chizkiah is just explaining time of the krua. That's the pshat. He's only explaining time of the krua. And maybe he's asking a question. True, the Kohen Gadol on Yom Kippur has to wear big day lovan, and he can't wear the big day zov, that'll be meruba begadim. He's not supposed to wear anything extra. But maybe that's what some want to say. Maybe meruba begadim only applies if it's a beged. What if the extra thing he's going to wear is going to be the golden tzitz? That's a tachshit, that's not called a beged. So maybe there's no, that's what some suggest. Maybe there's no din of, let's say the kohen goes into the Beis HaMikdash with his big day kuna and a pair of glasses. A pair of glasses is not a beged. It's not a tachshit either. Let's say the Kohen goes in and he's wearing a watch. He's wearing big dekun, he's wearing a watch. So if the watch is in between the sleeve and the body, so it's a chatzitza, the Gemara has. All the dinim in chatzitza by tefillin are based on the Gemara's in the second parak and Zochma, chatzitza in between the big dekun and the body. The begadim have to be touching the body. So if the Kohen is going to wear a watch in between his body and the big dekun, it's going to be a chatzitza. What if we wear the watch not in between? So is that miyuta begadim? Maybe that's not called miyuta begadim. It's not a beged. Maybe a beged is only made from cloth. So that's what some want to say. That was Rav Chizkiah's question. True, the Kohen Gadol on Yom Kippur, when he does the second and the fourth unit of avodah, is supposed to wear big day lavan, and he can't wear big day. He can't wear any other begadim. It'll be miyuta begadim. But let's encourage him to wear the tzitz. The tzitz is not a beged. The tzitz is a tachshit. So that's when he comes and he says, no, even though al pidin it shouldn't pose the problem of miyuta begadim, but en kategan asa sanega.
Didn't Rabbi say that the big day lovin don't have a din of big day kuna? That's why it's supposed to be total in between wearing the big day zav and the big day zav, it's back toward big day kuna.
No, of course it's big day kuna. When he takes off the big day zav, he falls down to the level of kain kedushas kuna shebigvulin. Then he's going to put on big day lovin. That's going to elevate him again. Then he takes that off. He fell down to Kedushas Kunesh Abigvulin. He wants to put on Big Day Zohar for the middle. Every time he takes off the Begodim, he falls down to the level of Kedushas Kunesh Abigvulin. Then he wants to put on Begodim again. Even though he's going to put on the same Begodim that he won before. But for 5 minutes, he wasn't wearing any Begodim. So to go back to a level of Kedushas Kunesh Abigvulin, you need tefillah and mikveh.
For example, if you're
No, but the tzitzit is one of the eight. Tzitzit is one of the eight. But maybe strict. It could be that it's for the purposes of miyuta begodim. Maybe it's only if it's a begid. Because not really a begid. A begid is if it's made from cloth. If it's not made from cloth, then it doesn't really cover the body. It's really intended as a takshit. It's not intended as a begid. It's not a clothing apparel. It's not a garment that you wear to cover your body.
String,
what?
Strings or clothing. They're
strings.
They're tied behind the head.
Yeah.
So it's a clothing.
Maybe. Okay. The Gemara in Zvachim talks about the miyuta begodim. So the Gemara talks about a band-aid. So the Gemara says, if the band-aid is in between the beged and the body, is a chatzitza. What if the band-aid is not? So then the Gemara sounds like it has to have a minimum size that it should have a shame beged. It has to be made from cloth, has to have a minimum size. If it doesn't have the minimum size, then it sounds from the Gemara that it wouldn't be a din of miyuta begodim. So the pashtus over here might taka be that Rav Chizda is asking halacha lemaisa. Let the kain gadol wear the tzitz when he goes in on Yom Kippur. True, the others he can't wear because it's miyuta begodim. He's wearing big day lover now, but what's his? Let him wear the tzitz. Or it could be just explaining time of the crop. So what is the answer? What's the katega? What's the kitrug? There was gold was used in the Egel Hazav. The gold that we're using now for the tzitz is the same gold in Egel Hazav. No, but it belongs to the same family. All the gold in the world is considered katega. Because there was an Egel Hazav, so all the gold in the world is a katega.
So why is there gold at all? The cloud is
how? Why is what?
Why is it gold at all? The cloud.
So the Gemara asked that kasha. Frag the Gemara kasha. En katega nasa nega. So how do you have the oron had a oron eitz, and then it had coated with gold on the inside, on the outside. It was sitting there in the Kodesh HaKadoshim. Gemara's going to ask, did they prove him? Everything was gold. So the Gemara asks, velo, is that true? En katega nasa nega. The Egel HaZohav was an Egel. It was Egel HaZohav. It wasn't a real Egel. It was a real Zohav, but it wasn't a real Egel. So the Gemara says, an Egel is born to a par and a para. So a par is the father of the Egel. So how can you bring V'lokach HaKoyim Midama Par Midama Asor? On Yom Kippur, the Kohen Gadol has to go into the Kodesh HaKadoshim with the Dam HaPar and Dam HaSor. So the Dam HaPar should be En Kategen and Asan Egel. Because the par is the father of the Egel HaZohav. Even though the Egel HaZohav wasn't a real Egel, but still it was it's called an Egel. It looked like an Egel. So the par should also be a violation. It belongs to the same family. Should be a violation. Then can't take an asan Egel. So the Gemara said, that's not a problem. The Dam HaPar is not the par itself. Ho v'ishtani. Ishtani. You shech the par and then you take the Dam and you zerk the Dam. The par is not the end. There's a major shinui took place here, so there's no problem. The Gemara asks the Yor Kash Veika Orem VeKaporis Akruv. What are all the golden kelim that are sitting there in the Kodesh HaKadoshim? And for the Gemara, Chote Bal Yakri Kwamina. No, En Kategan Asanegah. We're only Machmir that the person shouldn't wear it. Bal Yakri, he shouldn't. The Orem with the Kaporis with the Kruvim just sit there. The Kohen Gadol isn't doing anything with it, but he was going to walk in with the. Sits on with the big day zovan, so then the sinner is going to be walking in with the kategor. So that's going to pose a problem. But on Kippur, the Kohen Gadol walks in with the kafa machta. Kafa machta made from gold. So he is walking in with that. Veika kafa machta on Yom Kippur. Everything more chota by yisnoko aminim. No, when he wears clothing, the big day kuna have to be one lechovet ol seforis to give glory to the Kohen Gadol. So that's chota by yisno. He shouldn't dress up with the big day zov when he goes into the Kodesh HaKadoshim. But over here, the Kafa Machta, he's just doing an Avoida. It doesn't beautify him. It does make him look better. In fact, the Gemara, but the Kohen Gadol wears big dissolve all year long. So what happened? We can big dissolve Mi Bachutz all year long, and on Yom Kippur also Mi Bachutz, the Avoidas that are done outside. The first and the third and the fifth unit of Avoida is done in big dissolve. This Chumrah only applies inside, in the Kodesh HaKadoshim. What do you mean? There is a din of Ein Kategan Ases HaNeger all the time. We usually refer to that din as Mitzvah Bo Baver. That's the Malchamis, the Ramban Malchamis, the beginning of Perik Lulav HaGozel. Quotes a Yerushalmi like that. The Mishnah says that a Lulav HaGozel is not acceptable for the mitzvah. So the Gemara says, Bishleima, the first day, Sukkis, first 2 days you need Shalachem. So Lulav HaGozel doesn't belong to me, but the rest of Sukkis you don't need Shalachem. So what's wrong if it's Gozel? So it's a machlekes, and we pask, and it's no good. Why is it no good? So Gemara says, because en kategan asaneg. So the Gemara says, excuse me, the Bavli says, because it's a mitzvah babaver. Bavli says, because mitzvah babaver. So the Gemara has there the following statement. What if I go into your backyard without permission, and I build a sukkah there? And you're screaming, what are you doing in my backyard? I say, don't bother me. I'm stealing your... A sukkah has to have a floor and walls and schach. So I'm stealing the floor from you. So gezel on the karka. So you're not allowed to do that. You're not allowed to build a sukkah in someone else's backyard without their rishus. Whereas you're not allowed to build a sukkah in the rishus of rabbim either, without the rishus of the municipality, because it's a gezel harabim. So the Gemara says, would you say b'diyeved you're not yetzi because it's a sukkah gzula? So Gemara says, well, that depends on the machloikas hatanoim at the end of Bava Kama. We said there's a taisvis on our daf in Bava Mitzi. Enish bai malakarkos. So taisvis said that's a machloikas hatanoim. Whether karka and exelis or karka and exelis, the same machloikas, whether enish bai malakarkos or not. The machloikas being whether you darshan klala prata klala, ribui mitvi ribui, on the posik in the end of Parshas Vayikra. When the Chumash speaks about Hashem gzelois, only chayv Hashem gzelis if you really, it's not enough to be chayv Hashem gzelis, not sufficient if you violate loy sigzel. You have to violate loy sigzel and have a kinyan gzela on the thing that you stole. So what if you stole karka? Would you say karka ain't an gzela? Everybody agrees there is a love of loy sigzel on karka. Rashi and the Rambam both quote the Sifrua and the Sifre. They both say it like that. If you steal karka in Eretz Yisrael, in addition to the violation of loy sigzel, you're also in violation of loy sigzel. If you steal karka and chutzlots, you're only in violation of loisigzal and loisigna. You're not in violation of lasasik, because that lav only applies benachaloscha shetinchal in Eretz Yisrael. But there is a lav of loisigzal. So what did Gemara say? If I build a sukkah in your backyard and you're screaming, you don't give me permission, and I'm stealing the use of the yard from you, I steal a backyard, and a sukkah, the halacha requires a floor for the sukkah. Let's say a guy's going to make a sukkah and float in a balloon on the air, and it doesn't have any floor. He'll be strapped up to the sukkah. He's not yotze. The halacha says to be a kosher sukkah, you have to have walls, and you have to have schach. You have to have three defanas, and you have to have schach, and you have to have a floor. The Gemara has halacha. You have to have a floor. It has to be a shtickle, sturdy floor. If there's no floor, the sukkah is possible. So what if this floor was a stolen floor? I built a sukkah in your backyard without your permission. So the Gemara says, if you would hold like the Tana Reb Lezer, who holds Karkan Exelis, then the end of Bava Kama, next to Lezdaf, Karkan Exelis, and then it's a mitzvah Bava Aver, because the Karka is called Karka Gzula. The Mazel is, we paskan like the Chachamim Karka Ein and Exelis. So since Karka Avon and Mishtoros, all three when it's might, both from Shvua and from Gzela, Karka Ein and Exelis means, despite the fact that you are in violation of Le Sigzal, but the Karka is not, you don't have a Kinyan Gzela, the Karka is not labeled as a Dabah HaGozel. So therefore, there's no mitzvah babaver. So the Ritva asks on the Gemara, why is there no mitzvah babaver? But everyone agrees that you violated the lava of Lasigzal. Why isn't it mitzvah babaver? I make a sukkah in my neighbor's backyard against his wishes. He doesn't permit me to do it. So I'm stealing the use of his floor. So I'm fulfilling the mitzvah with the stolen floor. So the Ritva asks Akasha, why isn't it mitzvah babaver? So he says, you see from the Gemara, that in order to be considered a mitzvah bab avera, it's not enough to say he did an avera that enabled him to do the mitzvah. If he wouldn't have done the avera, he wouldn't have been able to be out in the mitzvah. He went and he built a sukkah in the neighbor's backyard without permission, and he's sitting a sukkah by stealing from the neighbor. That's not enough that you did an avera. Mitzvah bab avera is referred to by the Yerushalmi, that's what the Ramban there in the beginning of Lulav HaGozel, Kotzi Yerushalmi, Shalmi calls it en katega nasanega. The same is over here. What does mean en katega nasanega? So the Ritva explains, and it's the Yerushalmi basically says it. Mitzvah babaver en katega nasanega means a chefta shal avera cannot serve as a chefta shal mitzvah. The question is, what constitutes a chefta shal avera? So if a lulav hagozul, if I steal a lulav, and not only have I violated an avera of le sigzel, the gaber did an avera, he gets a kinyan gzela on the object. And the object is now called a lulav hagozel. He has kinyan gzela on it. So then the chepsa is called the chepsa shalaver until he gives it back, right, until he pays for it. And the other guy says, okay, you can keep it. But calls man that the ganef is holding on to the lulav hagozel, he has kinyan gzela, and it's called the chepsa shalaver. So outside of the Kodesh HaKadoshim, there's a din mitzvah babavera, which is also known, called by the Rishalmi, en kategan asaneger. So outside of the Kodesh HaKadoshim, the din only applies if this particular chepza is a chepza shel aver. The hainu, a lulav hagozel, it's a stolen. I have a matzah gzula, and I'm going to use the matzah gzula to be yotzei on Pesach night. So the chepza is a chepza shel aver. But what happens, the Rishalmi says, let's say Pesach falls out on Shabbos, and the guy made up his mind where he's going to eat the Seder by his grandmother, whatever, and he carries the matzah outside of the Erev. He carries it in Shusarabim, carries the matzah to the location where he's going to eat it. So is that called a mitzvah bob avera? So Yishalmi says, no, he did an avera. Let's say his grandmother has no matzah. The only way for him to eat the matzah over there is he's going to carry the matzah. So he did an avera. Matzah gzula, the chepta of the matzah is a chepta shel avera. You steal matzah, so you have kinyan gzela. So the matzah is called matzah gzula. If you carry on Shabbos, you did an avera. But the chayfetz that you carry isn't relabeled. It doesn't have a new chaloshem because of the fact that you are mechal Shabbos with it. So Yishalmi draws that contrast. If I have a matzah gzula, it's mitzvah baba avera. If I carry a matzah on Shabbos, Pesach shchol, yontav shal Pesach choli is b'shav, carry the matzah, the chayfetz is not called chayfetz shal avera. So that's, apparently, the din is mitzvah baba avera is the same as the Bavli calls it mitzvah baba avera, and the Yerushalmi calls it en kateger nasaneger. It's only called a kateger if the chepza is a chepza shel avera. And now the Gemara says there's a difference between mibachutz and mibifnim. If you're in the Kodesh HaKadoshim, like the Kohen Gadol on Yom Kippur, then the din of mitzvah baba avera en kateger nasaneger is so sensitive, even if this chepza, this particular piece of gold that sits, is not from the gold from the Egel Azov, but because it belongs to the same family, all gold in the world, and all poras, and all parim poras in the world, belong to the same family as the Egel Azov. So we're more sensitive, lifnai v'lifnim. So we would call anything that belongs to the same family, all gold in the world, and all parim pora in the world, and all Egel in the world, will can be considered a chepza shel aver. If you're not in the Kodesh HaKadoshim, you're mibachutz, anywhere else in the world, then it's only called mitzvah baba avera if this particular chepze, if someone did an avera, which labeled this particular chepze as a chepze shel avera, like gozel.
The Yerushalmi say
king
tiras neger dafka by a lulav or by sukkah? Or by a sukkah?
The Mishnah says lulav gozel is not good, so Yerushalmi gives the reason why, because ain't katega nasa neger. And the Bavli says mitzvah baba avera, so the Ramban says it's the same thing.
Maybe it's still ain't katega nasa neger, not by all mitzvahs,
that could be. That's a discussion in Taisvis and other Rishonim there in Sukkah, where the mitzvah b'mavera is a din deraisa or a din derabbanan. So some Rishonim say it's only a mitzvah b'mavera deraisa by korbanis or by Dalaminin that the boim leratza salamayim, but if it's a stama mitzvah, then the mitzvah b'mavera din is only midirabbanan. And other Rishonim say no. True, the original pasuk and mitzvah baba avera is by korbanis and by lulav, but it applies to kol ha-tor, it applies to all other mitzvahs min ha-torah, not min ha-rabban. There's 2 days in Tosfos on Daf Tes Amud Aleph, and the read for that's a machlokes Rishonim, right?
So
the Gemara's question was, why doesn't the Kohen Gadol wear the tzitz when he goes into the Kodesh HaKadoshim, when he's wearing the big day love? And the Gemara says that'll be en kategan asaneger. Why? But there is gold there sitting. Gemara says, no, the gold there is not choited by Yisrael, he's not wearing it. But he should wear gold when he goes in the Kodesh HaKadoshim, mibifnim. The Gemara says, mibifnim kuarminon. And the Kodesh HaKadoshim were more machmir on the definition of en kategan asaneger, mitzvah babavir. All gold in the world belongs to the family of Egel Azov, and all parim pora and Egel belong to the family. Even though the Egel Azov was a fake, it wasn't a real Egel. Every par, pora, and Egel belongs to that family.
So can you go in with his watch now, or if it's not quite sits? I mean, because it sits is now looked at as neutral. In other words, Are we trying to?
No, he's not allowed to wear any gold when he goes in. Yeah.
Probably
can't wear a golden watch, even though all year long maybe he could wear the golden watch outside because it's a tachshit, it's not a beged, and it's not called miyut begodim. That's a possibility. That's a discussion that the recent svarim have. But to go into the Kodesh HaKodashim, we're not allowed to. That's chote bal yisnor. So then the Gemara says, so what do you tell me that a shofar shel para is no good because par and para belong to the same family as the egel hazahav? And it's a violation of Ein Kateg and Asan Eger, but you're blowing the shofar in New York, you're not blowing the shofar in the Kodesh HaKadoshim. Who's in the Kodesh HaKadoshim? Frag the Gemara, shofar is mi bachutz. Where's the Gemara? Shofar nami mi bachutzu. So the Gemara answers, Kevin de lizikorin hu kibifnim dami. Since the purpose of the shofar is lahal zechanim shal Yisrael, bifnei avim shebashamayim, so it's considered, yeah, it's considered kibig de kain gadol shalifnim dami. What does that mean? So Rav Soloveitchik used to learn pshat. The Rambam in Hilchas Tefillah writes that when a person davens, has to have kavanah zayimid lifnei hamelech. You have to have kavanah as if you're standing in front of the Ribbono shel Olam. Where? So the Rambam says bashamayim. Rambam says when you daven, supposed to close your eyes and have the feeling as if you're in heaven standing in front of the Ribbono shel Olam in person. And tkiya shofar is a form of tefillah. That's what the Gemara is going to keep on saying that, and I'm at base, because say that the whole Masechta says that. Tkiya shofar on Rosh Hashanah, tkiya shofar in battle is to call upon the soldiers to fight. But tkiya shofar on Rosh Hashanah is a chelik of the tefillah. That's why you blow shofar in the middle of the Shemana Esrei. You don't shake a lulav in the middle of the Shemana Esrei. Shake a lulav is a hepsik. Hepsik is not only if you talk. Hepsik, if you do another mice, it'll be a hepsik. You shake lulav in the middle of halo because it blends in together. You halo, you're praising the Ribbono Shel Olam, and you're shaking the lulav, you're thanking him for the bounty that everything grew well, the dalaminim. It used to be an agricultural society. So the farmers would be dancing, they're dancing with the dalaminim that they had, the peiros grew nicely. So we praise HaKadosh Baruch Hu by dancing with the Dalmin. So it blends in. That's a hider. It's a kiyum in the halal to shake the lulav in the middle of halal. But you don't blow shofar in the middle of halal. You don't shake the lulav in the middle of the Shemana Esrei, because the shofar is a form of tefillah to elevate the tefillah to a level of za'oka, a higher level of a more serious tefillah. So that's why that's kiyah shofar during on Rosh Hashanah is a form of tefillah. So that's why it's supposed to be in the middle of Shemana Esrei. Tkiyah shofar during Chodesh Elul is not part of the tefillah. The minig in Europe used to be that they blew shofar at the end of the davening, not before the Dovid Hashem Mori. That's what Rav Soloveitchik and others point out, that it's a mistake in America. The American Balabata made a mistake. They blow shofar on Chodesh Elul in between the Shir Shal Yom and the Dovid Hashem Mori. Why you need Oivel HaSiyosam? Why do you have to blow shofar before the Dovid Hashem Mori? Because the remez, or v'yishi, or v'rosh Hashanah, v'yishi b'yom ha-kippurim, so what? That's why we recite this perek in Tilim. But the tkiya shofar is just to remind us that Rosh Hashanah is on its way. So we should prepare for Rosh Hashanah. But the tkiyas during Chodesh Elul are not part of the tefillah. The tkiyas should be after the davening is all over. This past Shabbos I davened in the Baltimore yeshiva in Eretz Yisrael, because my son made a bar mitzvah. So then when they blew shofar on I was there Friday morning. Sunday morning I was back in New York. Friday morning when they blew shofar, they blew after the Dovid Hashem Mori. Not supposed to blow before the Dovid Hashem Mori. It's not the same as on Rosh Hashanah. So that's how Rav Soloveitchik learned. Kevan did this Koran Kosei Kelefnim Domi. Since the purpose of Tkiya shofar is to enhance the davening, so that's considered like you're standing mamish in front of the Ribbono Shel Olam. That's how the Rambam says. You have to have kavanah when you daven shmones, you have to have kavanah oimed lefnei hamelech, as if you're standing mamish in heaven in front of the Ribbono Shel Olam in davening. So Ula gave this as they said this is the real reason why Keren Shel Parah is not acceptable, because when you blow shofar anywhere in the world, it's considered like kilefnim dami, as if you're mamish in the Kodesh HaKadoshim. And when you're lifnei Hashem mamish and kilefnim, then you have to be more machmir on the din of Ein Kateg and Asanega. Not only that cheftza, the lulav gozel, the thing that an avera was done with it, and it was relabeled as a cheftza shel avera, you have kinyan exela on it. Even all the gold in the world and all par and para and egel in the world belong to the family of egel azov, so it's also called cheftza shel avera. if it's lifnai v'lifnai. Frag the Gemara, but that's not what it says in the Mishnah. The Mishnah gave a different reason. Frag the Gemara v'hatanim v'nei shu karen kama. The Tanakam in the Mishnah says because it's not called shofar, it's called karen. So the Gemara says that's not the real reason. Chada v'yod kama. That's the second reason. Chada, the real reason is, the real is number one, the more important reason, kategan asaneg v'yod. And the secondary reason is b'nei shu karen. Rabbi Yossi disagrees. Rabbi Yossi disagrees. That's in the days of the Tanoim, they had a style of debating. So a lot of times they would argue, Lidvarecha, you should agree with me. And a lot of times when they would argue, they wouldn't bring out the main. It's not the way people talk today. People today get to the point. Days of the Tanoim, they would beat around the bush. It was a different way of speaking. So the Mishnah doesn't give the real reason. The real reason why Karen Shalpar is no good is Chad of Yod Kama, that's the secondary reason. The Mishnah only recorded the secondary reason because Rabbi Yossi is going to disagree on that reason. But the main reason really is that it's a mitzvah above aver. That's what Ula says. Abaye doesn't agree. Abaye Yama also. Abaye also assumes that's not the real reason. The more important reason is something else. And that's the Mishnah records the secondary reason that it's not called shofar, it's called keren. Abaye Yama, what's the real reason? Years ago there was a whole scandal. There was somebody who was selling shofars all over the world, and they were perfect. Everyone could blow all the tkiyas perfectly. Yeah, usually it's a little difficult to blow shofar. Yeah, you have to know how to blow shofar. These shofars, they all blew well, very well, and they were all exactly the same. How can it be that they're all exactly the same? So they did a little research. Turned out he had a factory in Yugoslavia, and he bought all the shofars, and he melted them all down, and he poured them into a form, and he figured out exactly the form that it has to be. And he melted the stuff into a form, and each one was perfect for tkiyah shofar. So that's puzzle. If you have the Gemara learns out from the puzzle, shofar echad v'lo shnayim v'shlosha shofaros. If you melt down the whole material, sometimes you have to heat it a little bit to melt it, to twist it a little bit, but to melt down the whole thing of a whole bunch of shofaros, then you're making any one given shofar is made up from different shofaros. So that's not kosher. So that's when they started the whole shtick. You should only buy a shofar that has hashgacha. Yeah, a shofar needs hashgacha. He can fall in this mishugana. Maybe selling you a shofar that he melted, I think it was a non-Jew. He saw business as business. He thought he's going to make money. So he did that. So there is a din, shnayim shlosha shofars is no good. What's the din of shnayim shlosha shofars? That's a whole sugya later. The Mishnah has the top line on daf chav zayinam and base. What if a shofar has a hole? Nikiv, has a nekiv in it. So if you leave the nekiv alone and you blow the shofar, even though the sound is a little off, the Gemara says that's okay. If you have a nekiv, if you're not soysimid, kol ha-kolos ksherim b'shofar. Sometimes it's very deep, sometimes screechy, whatever. Rav Soloveitchik used to make fun. He had a baltakeya in Boston who didn't know how to blow shofar well. So he used to make fun of him. It didn't hurt his feelings, but Yeshiva Bach, he used to make fun. He said, the Gemara has a lotion. The person is listening to tkiyas. He didn't realize that it was a shofar. He thought that it was a dog barking. That's how the Gemara has a lotion. So he used to say that you're not yaitse with this fellow's tkiyas. It doesn't sound like a tkiyas shofar. It sounds like a dog barking. But the Gemara says, kol ha-kolos ksherim b'shofar. He says, no, that means a deep sound or a screechy somewhere, but it sounds like a tkiyas shofar. It sounds like it's supposed to sound. If it sounds like a dog barking, that's not acceptable. Okay, so the Mishnah says if you have a nekev and you're not soysim it, and because of the fact that it has a nekev, so the kol is changed a little bit, but the shofar is intact. Shofar is intact, even though it has a nekev in it. So that's okay. And Shulchan Aruch, they say, lechatchila, you shouldn't use a shofar with a nekev, because when we blow shofar, we have all 10 different kavanas. From the Siddur Rav Samram, Rav Amram Gon, Rav Sadi Gon, in the Machzorim, they print 10 different kavanas you're supposed to have when you blow shofar. So one of the 10 kavanas is that we're hoping and praying for the day that we'll hear Kol Shofar Shal Moshiach. So that's going to be a shofar shalom. How do they know? Maybe it'll also be a shofar with a hole. That's what they assume. Moshiach's shofar is going to have a hole in it. So we should also not use a shofar with a hole. Okay, so that's Lachatchila. If you have a choice, you should use a shofar that doesn't have a hole. But if you have a shofar that has a hole, you're not soysimit, there's no problem. If you were soysimit, even let's say the hole developed because part of the shofar fell out, and then you glue back that piece that fell out, That's already no good. There's shnayim mishlosh and shayfas. Because once it fell off, it's not part of the shayfas. So then when you glue it back, so then it's one shayfas that's made up of more than one shayfas. Or certainly if you take a chip, you take a piece from another shayfas and you glue it on. I'm sure that's literally shnayim mishlosh and shayfas. So the Gemara has a whole discussion. What if after I put the piece of shayfas, I glued another piece of shayfas to the hole, it doesn't affect the change kihuzet. The sound comes out exactly the same. Before I was soysen, and after I'm soysen. So the Gemara says, maybe it's good, since it didn't affect the change in the sound. So that's the real sugya. On Chaf Zayin on the base, the Gemara gets into nitty-gritty details, literally. Nitty-gritty details of when is it a violation of Shnayim and Shlosh and Shofar, when not. So here the Gemara says, Abai Yomar, that the real reason, reason number one, the Mishnah gives you reason number two, that the Tanakhama de Rabbi Yossi says on Chavavim and Aleph, that all the other shofars are referred to as shofar and keren, and par is only referred to as keren, never referred to as shofar. But reason number one, the more important reason really is a different reason, that the par, when the shofar grows every year, it develops another curl and another curl and another curl. When you look at it, it looks like it's made up of different shofar. It doesn't look like it's one unit. Because every year it grows, another ring grows, and it looks like it's more than one shofar. Where's the Gemara? Abai Yomar. Hayna time ma'ayu the Rabbanon. The real shofar alchamon of l'shnayim mishloshas. V'hod the par the shofar the horn of a par cave in the koi gildi. Every year it has another ring. Mischazi kishnayim mishloshas. It looks as if. It appears as if. So it means it's puzzle mid the Rabbanon mishum arisayin. Mischazi. It looks as if it's only a psul the Rabbanon because it looks like l'shnayim mishloshas shofars. Or it means, no, it's a psul deraisa. Since it looks like two different, it doesn't look like it's one unit, so that's a psul deraisa. That's called shnayim mishlosh shofar. It's a little unclear. Pashup shat, the Gemara is saying that it's a psul deraisa, not a psul derabbanan. Freg the Gemara, but the Mishnah didn't give that reason. Matan pnei shu keren kam b'chad v'yod kam. No, that's, the real reason is what Abai said, shnayim mishlosh shofar. And this is the secondary reason. And when they were debating, so they only presented the less important reason, not the more important reason. Okay. Then the Gemara proceeds to have an agarata about a different topic. Okay. Let's see, the next Mishnah. There's an interesting agarata. The Tanoim didn't know what certain words meant in Tanakh. The students of Rabbi Yehuda Anasi didn't understand every word in Tanakh. And then some of the words they learned from Amsa de Bei Rebbe, from the maiden Rebbe's in home. In Yiddish, there's such an expression that the maid in the rabbi's home knows how to pass on the shaylas also, because she used the biblical Hebrew when she spoke to the Talmidim, and she was using the words that they didn't know from Tanakh. Okay, let's see the next Mishnah. So the Mishnah has an interesting institution, an interesting practice that only applies in the Beis Hamikdash. The Gemara says on Chav Zayinam and Aleph, they wanted to introduce it outside of the Beis Hamikdash, and Omru, and the Tanoim said, Lohoi Nogim Kena Lebishai Mizuch Lahar Bais Bilvat. There's a pasuk in Tehillim that says here, it says in Tehillim chapter Tzadik Ches, Bachatzah Tzvas, we call Shafar, Hariyu Lefnei HaMelech Hashem. So the Gemara understands from that pasuk, when you're Lefnei HaMelech Hashem, when you're in the Beis Hamikdash, Lefnei Hashem means in the Beis Hamikdash. So whenever you have Chatzotzes, you should have Shofar with it. Whenever you have Shofar, you should have Chatzotzes with it. Chatzotzes with Kol Shofar Hariyu Lefnei HaMelech Hashem. Which part of the Beis Hamikdash? So the Minchas Chinuch writes that the word Lefnei Hashem appears in Chumash in connection with the Beis Hamikdash in different psukim, and it means different things. Like when you shecht korbanos, the shochet is ben habakar Lefnei Hashem in the beginning of Bayikra. Where do you shecht the korbanos in the Azorah? You can't shecht the karbanos in the Harabais, and you don't have to shecht the karbanos in the Heichal. You shecht the karbanos in the Azar. Then it says, "V'yachalto Hashem lefnei Hashem alakecha ma'ase digoncha v'sirochcha v'yitzarecha v'charis bekarcha v'tzaynecha." Where do you eat ma'ase sheni? Where do you eat kachim kalim in Yerushalayim? It says, "V'yachalto Hashem lefnei Hashem alakecha." Lefnei Hashem alakecha means all of Yerushalayim has a lower level of kedushas beis hamikdash. So that's also called lefnei Hashem alakecha. And here the Gemara says, "B'chatzotzos v'kol shofar ariyu lefnei Melech Hashem." Whenever you blow shofar, you should blow chatzotzer. Whenever you blow chatzotzer, you should blow shofar. They had that practice in Shari Mizuch and Baharabayis. So you see, Harabayis is called lefnei Hashem. In Yerushalayim, they didn't have it. But all of Harabayis has the same status as the Azara as far as this is concerned. So what was the practice? And the Mishnah says, on Rosh Hashanah, the mitzvah is to blow a shofar all over the world, to blow a shofar. On Tainas Sibur, the mitzvah is to blow chatzotzos. Where does that come from? That's the Pasuk, Chisavim Muhammad b'yartzachem al atzar atzares, ha-hariyesem ha-chatzotzos. We should daven to HaKadosh Baruch Hu be'eis tzorah. V'chisav v'mochama b'yartchem, if there's a mochama. You have to be mispalat to Rabbanu Shalom that we should be protected and we should win in the war. So it says, you should blow chatzotzos, v'chatkiyas chatzotzos is a form of tefillah. So, outside of the Beis HaMikdash on the Tainasib, you only blow chatzotzos, you don't blow shofar. In Rosh Hashanah, you only blow shofar, you don't blow chatzotzos. In the Beis HaMikdash, whether it's Rosh Hashanah or Tainas Tzibur, whenever you have one or the other, the mitzvah is to blow both. B'chatzotzos, we call shofar, Ariyu Lefnei HaMelech Hashem. But on Rosh Hashanah, the Ikar mitzvah really is the shofar. So the Ran quotes a Gemara from Yuma. The Ran on the Rif quotes a Gemara from Yuma. It's in Yuma, Daf Lamed Zayin Amad Aleph, that if you have three people walking together on the road, and one of them is a Tamachachem, and two are his Talmidim, so that the Gadol Hoylech B'Emtza, the Gadol should go in the middle, and the Talmidim should be on his side. So the Ran explains, that's why on Rosh Hashanah, in the Beis HaMikdash, when you have Chatzotzos and Shofar, so the one who's blowing the Shofar should stand in the middle, and to the right and to the left, you should have people blowing Shofar simultaneously. While he's blowing Shofar, they should be blowing the Chatzotzos. On the Tainas Tzibur, you have the two people blowing Chatzotzos, Arios and Machatzotzos, it says. So you have two people blowing chatzotzos in the middle because that's the mitzvah sayyam. To the right and to the left, you have another two people blowing shofar simultaneously. Because the gadol is holach b'yemtza, so on the Tainas Tzibur, the mitzvah sayyam is chatzotzos, and on Rosh Hashanah, the mitzvah sayyam is shofar. And the Mishnah continues to say that on Rosh Hashanah, to demonstrate that the Ikar Mitzvah Sayyam is B'Shofar, so the two Balei Chatzotzos to the right and to the left should stop blowing at a certain time. The one who's blowing the Shofar should continue to blow longer. He should be Marech. Shofar Marech Chatzotzos Mekatzves, to demonstrate that the Ikar Mitzvah Sayyam is B'Shofar. And the Tanis Sibah is Faker. Tanis Sibah, the two people blowing Chatzotzos in the middle, the two Balei Shofar on the right and the left, so they should stop, the two blowing Shofar should stop at a certain point. The one is in the middle, the two in the middle blowing the chatzotzos, they should continue to blow longer. The chatzotzos should be marich to demonstrate shemitzvah sayyam chatzotzos. That's how the Mishnah describes it. There is a Mishnah and a discussion, a sugya maseches erchen. The second parak in erchen, I think. So the Gemara there discusses shiras halavim. The levim. What do you mean b'simcha? So the Gemara says, "Ain simcha ala." What does the nigin say? "Ain simcha ala." A nigin? No. So the Gemara learns that from that pasuk that the Levim have to sing shira when they're doing the nisach hayayin. Ain amim shira ela lalayayin. If a private person brings a carbon to the Beis HaMikdash carbon, you don't have Shiras Halavim. When they bring Tamidim and Musaf and Karbanas Tzibur, then when they pour the wine, so then there's a din, Ein Shira Ela Ein Amim Shira Ela Lala Yayin. When the Levim pour the Yayin for the Karbanas Tzibur, so that's when the Kohanim are pouring the wine. Kohanim have to pour the wine for the Nisach HaYayin as an Avodah. So when the Kohanim pour the wine for the Nisach HaYayin of Karbanas Tzibur, then the Levim should sing Shira. And then they used to play musical accompaniment. Also, and that's a machlokes in the Gemara, are you yotze b'dieved if you sing without the music, is the ikar the singing, or do you know? Or do you say no, the musical instruments is an integral part of the shira, and is it ikar shira b'peh or ikar shira b'kli? That's a machlokes in the Gemara, in the end of Sukkah and in Erchen, same machlokes. The psukim say in the Rayamim that they used to play musical instruments. So that's machlekes. Was that the levasume kola, just to enhance the singing, but the ikar really is the shira b'peh? Oh no, that's an ikar. That the ikar shira is b'kli. You need the kli and you need the peh. You need both. So the Mishnah says there that there were certain days in the course of the year. It says, "Yom Simchas Madech Rosh Hashanah." Means when they brought the Karbanos Tzibur, when they did the Nisach Hayayin of the Karbanos Tzibur, and that's when the Levim would sing Shira, and that's when they would play the music. So certain days, every day of the year, they always had Shir Shal Yom. Every day there was a Shir Shal Yom, the Levim would play music, and they would say the Nigin, and so on. They would say Pirkei Tilim. But on certain days in the year, when it's a Yontif, says, "Yom Simchas Madech Moshe Chatshechem," they should play chatzaitzus also as musical accompaniment with the shiras halavim. So, and it doesn't say there that in addition to the chatzaitzus they blew shofar. They list off all the musical instruments, it doesn't say. So the Sfasem says, the kasha, what happened to the Gemara here? The Gemara says, whenever it's lefnei melech Hashem, even in the Harabais, kal v'chaim in the Azor, whenever it's lefnei melech Hashem in the Beis HaMikdosh, so how come on those set special days, up to 21 days, whatever it is, when they blew chatzaitzus, why doesn't it say that they blew shofar also? And it lists off every single musical instrument. It doesn't say that they blew the shofar. That's his kashi, doesn't have a teretz. So in yeshivas they say that the teretz could be as follows. What kind of a din is this? That in the Beis HaMikdash, whenever you blow shofar, you have to blow chatzaitzus. Whenever you blow chatzaitzus, you have to blow shofar. Only applies in the Beis HaMikdash, not outside. Why is that so? So the Pashta says, because the Beis HaMikdash is not only Mokma HaKrobos HaKarbon, the Beis HaMikdash is Al Pidin, Ki Beis HaBeis Tfilah Yikari L'Cholo Amim. Beis HaMikdash is the Mokam Tfilah. That's what Shlomo HaMelech said when he finished building the Beis HaMikdash. He offered that long tefillah that appears in Sefer Melachim, and it's repeated also in Divrei Hayamim with slight shinuyim, the long tefillah Shlomo. So he says he built the Beis HaMikdash. He doesn't even mention HaKarbonos. I don't think he mentioned. He just says, built the Beis HaMikdash, that whenever there's an Eis Tzara, that Tzibur should daven, whenever there's an epidemic, whenever there's a famine, whenever there's no rain, whenever there's a sickness, whenever there's a war, a private person has tainus against someone, should come and pour his heart out to the Ribbono Shel Olam. The Jews and non-Jews, everyone should come to the Beis HaMikdash and pray. He was praying to the God of the Jewish people. Going to pray to the Elokei Israel. So you don't have to be Jewish. You can come to Shul and come to the Beis HaMikdash and to Davin. So the Beis HaMikdash is the Mokum Tefillah. Then Shlomo HaMelech Hatzan, and even those who live in America, when they daven, should face Eretz Yisrael. Mispalel Lecha Derech Artzam. Whoever lives in Eretz Yisrael should face Yerushalayim. Mispalel Lecha Derech Ir Azos. Whoever is davening in Yerushalayim should mispalel Lecha Derech Habayis Hazeh. They should face the Beis HaMikdash. The Beis HaMikdash is the Mokum Tefillah for all the tefillahs. So that's what the Gemara has this tradition on the pasuk b'chatzaitzus v'kol shofar hariyu lefnei HaMelech Hashem. That on a Tainas Tzibur, when did they blow the chatzaitzus? And on Rosh Hashanah, when did they blow the shofar? So on a Tainas Tzibur, the Mishnah says in Maseches Tainas, when the Chazan repeated the Chazaras Hashatz, when he repeated the Shemoneh Esrei, he added on an additional six brachas in the middle of the Chazaras Hashatz, and it added up to some total of 24. The Gemara says in brachas, there's a mokum in Tanakh of a tefillah that has 24 units, and that's what we have on a Tainas Tzibur. And at the conclusion of each one of those six additional tefillahs, the bakashas, that's when they blew the chatzaitzus on the Tainas Tzibur. And in Rosh Hashanah, when do we blow the shofar? At the conclusion of Malchus Reina Shofar. Is why? Because the concluding paragraph in each one of them is a bakasha. The concluding paragraph of Malchus, okay, we're going to say, "Melech kol ha'am kula b'chveidecha, v'nasa kol ha'am b'chorecha," etc., etc. It's a bakasha. And Zechrein is also, okay, I'm going to say, "Tov l'fanecha." And the concluding paragraph of Shofar is also, okay, I'm going to say, "Tkab shofar god l'chei reseinu." The Shemoneh Esrei is always three parts. You have to start off with Shevach, end off with Hoidoya, and the middle is supposed to be Bakoshes. So on Shabbos and Yontif, you leave out the middle part, you don't say all the Bakoshes, Rufa'enu and Slach Lanu Avin Kirchatonu, all the other Bakoshes, but you have Ruchnis Dika Bakosh. You have other kinds of Bakoshes. So on every Shabbos, the Bakosh is the concluding paragraph. Okay, we say, Ritzei b'minuchosenu, Kachenu b'mitzvoseh, v'senecha, kenu b'mitzvoseh, those are the bakoshes that we say on every Shabbos and Yontif. Also similar. So on Rosh Hashanah, when you daven Musaf, the three bakoshes are the three concluding paragraphs of each one of the three brachas, Malchus, Reinus, and Shofar. So to enhance the bakoshes, to enhance the tefillah, you add a tkiya shofar at the end. The tkiya shofar elevates the level of the tefillah to the level of za'oka. What is that all about? So there's a Gemara in Bava Metzia. That's what we're learning. It's here, Bava Metzia in Perek HaZohav. So the Gemara quotes a pasuk from Megillah Seicha. The Gemara says, "Yom Shachar Beis Hamikdash Ninalu Shari Tfila." That the prayers are not accepted to the same extent that they used to be Bizman She Beis Hamikdash Harikayam, because the Beis Hamikdash is the Beis HaTfila, the Makam HaTfila. So if the office is closed, so the prayers are not accepted. So then the Gemara says, "And even though Shari Tfila Ninalu Shari Dimois Lo Ninalu," if a person davens with great sincerity and he's brought to tears about the seriousness of a certain situation and about the ability of the Ribbono Shel Olam to help, he's overwhelmed with emotion, so then Shari Demois Lo Ninalu, even though the Shari Tfila Ninalu, after the Chur Meis Meng, Shari Demois Lo Ninalu. So that's what Tkiyah Shofar is all about. The Tkiyahs are supposed to sound like a person crying. The Gemara says, Rosh Hashanah says, Yom Teruah Yelachem. Umetargeminon, the Gemara says, the Targum Unkelus says, Yom Teruah Yom Yabava. And what does the word Yabava mean? So the Gemara quotes the pasuk in Shiraz Devaira in Sefer Shoftim. It says that Yoel Eshes Chevra Keni killed Sisera, and Sisera's mother, he was always successful in battle. He was the general of the Goyish army. He was always successful in battle. So his mother was waiting for him by the window. She's crying, how come her son didn't come back? And the women are calming her down. Don't worry, he's more victorious and more. He probably has such a smashing success. He's going to come back a day later because he was so successful. And she heard the news that he died. So the expression used in the pasuk is, she was sobbing, the mother was sobbing. So the Gemara says that the Tkiyah Shofar and Rosh Hashanah has to sound like a person crying. Why? Because Tkiyah Shofar and Rosh Hashanah is a form of tefillah. And the tefillah is elevated to a higher level if you have tefillah sheyesh imo demoyos. So that's what Tkiyah Shofar is all about. So in the Beis HaMikdash, which is the Mokam HaTfilah, so whenever the Tkiyah on Rosh Hashanah is to elevate the level of the tefillah, and the Tkiyah Chatzaitzvah on Atanah Sibur is also to elevate the level of the tefillah. You blow the Chatzaitzvah on Atanah Sibur at the conclusion of the six brachas in the Chazaras HaShatz, the six additional brachas. And the Ramban writes in the Mulchamas on Rosh Hashanah that it's the same din. The Tkiyah after the six brachas on Atanah Sibur is the same as the din of Tkiyah after Malchus Chayinu Shofar. In both, it's to elevate the level of the tefillah, to elevate it to the level of tefillah sheyesh imo demoyos. Rambam, when he quotes the din in Hilchas Tainiyos, the Rambam starts off mitzvah semen atoira lizik olahariya al koltzora shalaitovra al atzibur. Whenever there's any tragedy, whenever there's some major disaster, catastrophe, so there's a mitzvah men atoira. Chisav u'mochama b'yartzachem, mochama lav davke, any Torah satsib, any major problem. Hariyosem achat seitzreis. Hariyosem, so the Rambam says, lizuk olu hariya, to scream out to the Ribbono Shel Olam. We believe that God is a kol yochel. He has full control over everything. We have to scream out with seriousness, with earnestness and sincerity, that he should help us. So Rosh Hashanah is also an ace tzar. The Ribbono Shel Olam is judging the whole world. So that's what Tkiyah Shofar is all about. On Rosh Hashanah and on Atanah Sibur. So whenever you have one or the other, on Rosh Hashanah, the Ikei Mitzvah all over the world is Shofar. On Atanah Sibur, the Ikei Mitzvah all over the world is Chatzaitzus. So if you're blowing in the Beis HaMikdosh on Rosh Hashanah or on Tainiyos, then the Pasuk says, B'chatzaitzus, we call Shofar, Ariel of Ne'melech Hashem, you should enhance the Tefillah, because the Beis HaMikdosh is the Beis Tefillah. That's the place to daven all the Tefillahs. On the 21 days, on the Yomim Tovim, when you have Simchas Maradechem, Rosh HaShechem, Uskaitem HaChatzaitzvahs, that's not the Uskaitem HaChatzaitzvahs that we should cry in the davening. That's not to elevate the level of the Tfilah, the Tfilah Sheishim of the Mois. That's for Simcha, to have music for the purpose of Simcha. So if the one who composed the Niggin says that the Shofar is going to be Mekalkal, so you don't mix in a Shofar, you only play with the, you only play Chatzaitzvahs. You only play such musical instruments that blend in together. There's no halacha l'moshim. There's no din that whenever you blow shofar, you have to blow chatzaitzra in the Beis HaMikdash. It means when you're davening, when the tkiyah shofar or chatzaitzra and Rosh Hashanah Tani Sibur is for the sake of enhancing the davening, and the Beis HaMikdash is the Beis Tefillah, then whenever you have one, you should have both together to strengthen the Tefillah. But on the B'chas Ma'adechem, the Tkiyas Chatzaitzus is not for the sake of elevating the level of the Tefillah to a Za'oka. It's for the Simcha Sayyad. So Simcha, if the Shofar is going to be Mekalkal, the Simcha is going to be Mekalkal, the Nigan. So you don't blow shofar. That's on the yeshivas. That's how they say the teretz on the svasemis's kasha. He has the kasha. Why don't we apply this klal on the 21 days when they blow chatzitzus in the Beis Hamikdash? Here the Balamor raises an issue. How come we don't have the practice today to blow chatzitzus on the Tainus Siba? Yeah, the Gemara says ain't Tainus Siba bebavel. So Yom Kippurim, you don't blow chatzaitzris. It's awesome with the Rabbanon. It's awesome with the Rabbanon. We blow shofar after Yom Kippur is over. But you don't blow on Yom Kippur. It's awesome with the Rabbanon to blow shofar on Shabbos and Yontif. The Shabbos is Tisha B'Av. How come we don't blow chatzaitzris on Tisha B'Av? So that we understand why. Why don't we say Ne'ilah on Tisha B'Av? The Rishonim say, they quote from the Goyim, Ne'ilah is not a Yom Kippur Digadab. Ne'ilah is a din for a Tainus Tzibur. Yom Kippur happens to be a Tainus Tzibur, so you daven Ne'ilah. But Bizman HaMishnah is, Bizman HaMishnah, they used to daven Ne'ilah on every Tainus Tzibur. So Bizman is a Ein Tainus Tzibur B'Bavu, Chutz Mitisha B'Av Yom Kippur B'Bavu. So we're only left with Ne'ilah on Yom Kippur. How come we don't say Ne'ilah on Tisha B'Av? It's also a Tainus Tzibur. The answer is, what's the whole idea behind the Ne'ilah? So the Yerushalmi explains in the end of Tainus, that's where the Mishnahs have. Shalom explained the end of Tainus, Ne'ilah is based on the concept that if you do Ribui Tefillah, you stand a better chance of having your prayers answered. And the Yerushalmi quotes Pesukim from Torah, from Nevi'im, from Ksuvim to prove that this is so. That if you repeat the same Tefillah many times over and over and over again, you stand a better chance of having the Rabbanu Shel Olam answering in the affirmative. But Tisha B'Av is the day when we leave out this Kabel, because we say in Echo, Kam Kiezer Kashaver Sasam Tfilosi, Miyom Shechar Beis HaMikdash Ninalu Shari Tfilah. So what are you going to say, Ne'ilah, on Tisha B'Av? Tisha B'Av is the day that we observe Avelis over the destruction of Beis HaMikdash, that the prayers are not going to help. So that's probably, that's what Rav Soloveitchik could say, that's probably why we don't say Ne'ilah on Tisha B'Av. So that explains also why we don't blow Chatzaitzris on Tisha B'Av either. Well, what's it going to help? It's Sasam Tfilosi. We don't say Tiskabel. The whole purpose of Tkiyas Chatzaitzis on Tisha B'Av is to elevate the level of the Tfilah to the level of Tfilah Sheyeshim or Demois, to the level of Zo'oka. The Rambam writes, Mitzvah says, Lizuk Olo Haria, Al Kol Tzor Shal Atav Al Atzibah. Zo'oka means a more serious form of Tfilah. On Tisha B'Av is about Gornish Health. The Zo'oka is not going to help.
Sherry Demois.
But we want to demonstrate as if because no Beis HaMikdash, everything is lost. So that's what so the Balamor raises a question. We know we don't have any other Tainus Siba. What are you asking on Yom Kippur? You should ask Yom Kippur. It's a Sosem of the Rabbanan to blow Chatzaitzus. But he's asking that when they did blow Chatzaitzus, when there used to be Goyes of Tainus because of Atzeres Gishamim or because of an epidemic or something, so the Gemara sounds like they used to blow Shofar. So that's as the Balamor's Kasha. Why did they blow Shofar? Why don't they blow Chatzaitzus? Shofar is on Rosh Hashanah. And the Big Vulin on the Tainus said, we only blow Chatzaitzus. How can we blow Shofar? So that's what the Balamor raised the question. And the Ramban gives you the mocker. He says, there's another Gemara in Tainus that we today have adopted the practice that we blow shofar and the other Tanaisim as well. So here, getting back again here on Chavov HaMebei, so the Gemara presents this Machlekes HaTanoim, 2 days in Tosfos, the Machlekes the Ramban, the Rabbi, what this Machlekes is Li'ikuva, but it's only Mitzvah, I'm Rabbi Levi, Mitzvah Shel Rosh Hashanah, maybe just L'chatchila, not Li'ikuva. So the machlekes is whether the shofar shel Rosh Hashanah should be poshut, should be straight, then you should use a yal, because the shofar of the horn of a yal is straight. Or should you use an ayil, which is kofuf, which is twisted. What is the machlekes? So Rashi quotes psukim. The Gemara says, one is of the opinion, b'maikom ifligi, here the last 6 lines, on chavov ha'mebeis. And Rosh Hashanah Gemara said, "The Ma'akam Efligi. What's Machlekes? Whether the shofar should be twisted, or the shofar should be straight?" Mar Sova, but Rosh Hashanah Kama the Kai finished Daite Tvei Mali, and Mar Sova, the other one holds Kama the Poshet finished Daite Tvei Mali. What does that mean? Is it better that the person should be Kofuf, or the person should be Poshut? The shape of the shofar is supposed to represent the shape of the person when he's davening Shmona Esrei. So Rashi refers you to Psukim. And the Achrayim in the back of the Gemara say, where did Rashi get the Pesukim Mitzvah Gemara in Yevamos? The Gemara has a machlekes. When a person daven Shmones, you have to stand with your feet together. You have to stand erect. So then you stand erect with your head up like this or your head down like this. So that's a machlekes Amarayim. That's a machlekes Amarayim. So one says, Kama Dekai finish. You should bend over. You should bend your head down. Rashi, Kama Dekai finish bitfilosai. Panav kvushim la'aretz. He should stand up erect, his feet together, but his face should be parallel to the ground. Panav kvushim ba'aretz. And the other, based on a pasuk, v'yein I believe bisham kol hayamim. The person should face the ground when he davens. The other one says, no, you should stand up straight, and your head should be straight up, not down, based on the pasuk in Echa, nisa le'vabenu al kapayim al kel ba'shamayim. You should stand up like this. So the Gemara there in Yevamos has a machlekes Amoraim. What should the position of the person who's davening be? Should he have his hand? Should he have his head down parallel to the ground? Or should he have his head straight up? So whatever shape the person should be in when he davenes Maneset, that's the shape of the shofar. Because tefillah, because the tkiyah shofar on Rosh Hashanah is a form of tefillah. It's for the purpose of enhancing the tefillah. That's what Rashi and Tosfos say. Befeirush on the Gemara, it's for the purpose of enhancing the tefillah. So if when one davens, we should really require should be kofuf, so the shape of the shofar should be kofuf. And if one davens, his position should be erect, then the shofar should be erect also. So this is the machlokes hatanoim, the Maikom Mifli. This is machlokes hatanoim on Rosh Hashanah. Then you have Gzeirah Shava, and that's 2 days in Tosfos, whether this is Lechatchila, this is Likuva. Machlokes Zaram and the Raivit. Some hold it's even Likuva, that you need Davke Kfufa. Then there's a machlokes tanoim also. Shava yovel Rosh Hashanah letkiva lebrachas. There's a gzera shava. Chodesh ha-shvi, chodesh ha-shvi. That's how you know that you need trua on Yom Kippur. It only says trua. Yom trua yelachem says on Rosh Hashanah. How do you know it has to be trua from a shofar? Because on Yom Kippur it says vavartu shofar trua b'chodesh ha-shvi. So you put together all the psukim and you assume chodesh ha-shvi, chodesh ha-shvi legzera shava. That's how you establish, you put together, it says the word trua 3 times. Now that's how you know you have to blow tkiya, trua, tkiya 3 times, both on Rosh Hashanah as well as on Yom Kippur, Shal Yechel. So now the Shad is, how far do you go with the Gzera Shava? That's how you know you need 3 times, tkiya, trua, tkiya. That's how you know you need shofar. What about this concept, either lechatchila or likuva, that the shofar Shal Rosh Hashanah should be kofuf, because it represents the position of the one who's davening should be kofuf. So is that so on Yom Kippur Shal Yovel also? The role of the Tkiya Shofar on Yom Kippur Shal Yovel is also to enhance the davening. The Mishnah says, Shofar Yerosh HaTkiyah V'Lebrachas. He said, Malchus Chanes and Shofars. And you blow Shofar at the conclusion of Malchus Chanes and Shofars. So the Pashup Shat is that Tkiya Shofar on Yom Kippur Shal Yovel is also to enhance the Bakosha in the concluding paragraph of each of the 3 brachas on Malchus and Chanes and Chanes and Shofars. So that's one Tana says like that. You have the Gzera Shava connecting Rosh Hashanah Yom Kippur. That's how Rab Levi says. Amar Rab Levi, right after the Mishnah, on Chavavim and Beis, Mitzvah Shal Rosh Hashanah Vishal Yom Kippurim B'Kfufim. Why Shal Rosh Hashanah Kfufim? Because Kama Dekai Finish Daitet Faith. Because the Tkiyas of Rosh Hashanah a form of Tfilah, and Tfilah should be the faith, the body should be Kofuf, so the shape of the Shofar should also be Kofuf. And then Yom Kippur, he learns that Chodesh HaShvi, Chodesh HaShvi, Yom Kippur is the same as Rosh Hashanah. Then the Gemara said, there's another Tana says, no, Rosh Hashanah, the Tkiyas is for the purpose of enhancing the Tefillah. Yom Kippur is not that at all. Tosfos quotes, Yom Kippur is a simen of Shiluach Avodim. You see the long Tosfos, Shal Yal Pashut. So the last 3 lines. Last 5 lines. Avol Yovel, here, the last 7 lines. Kam the kai finish tvei or the final davke berosh hashanah shatkiel et tefila ulizikaren kevin ulizikaren klasi kelefnim dami means a form of tefila. So therefore the shofar should be bent like the shape of the person davening should be bent. Avol yoyfel ena tkiya, the tkiya is not for the sake of enhancing the davening. Tosfos said that's one opinion. We assume that it is. We assume you say malchus chanes zechanes and shofar on Yom Kippur and you blow shofar at the conclusion of each one of them to enhance the bakasha. So Tosfos says, but the other Tana in the Gemara holds that the Gzera Shava doesn't cover this because it's not mistaber. Because the tkiyas are different. Avol Yovel Yom Kippur Shel Yovel Ein Atkiyah Ela Simen L'Shiluach Avarim V'Hashmat Tesodes Achoses L'Baila. So that's why he holds that the Gezeirah Shavah doesn't apply with respect to this. So the dinim are the same. Vashana Yom Kippur Shel Yovel the Tkiyas are the same. But the purpose of the tkiyas is different. So even though the shape of the shayfa for Rosh Hashanah should be twisted, should be bent, but for the purpose of Yom Kippur Shel Yovel, it should be straight. So it doesn't have to be bent. So that's the machlokes in the Gemara. Then the Mishnah continues to say the shayfar shel Rosh Hashanah in the Beis Hamikdash was piv mitzupe zahav. The second line in the Mishnah chavavim a base. That end of the shayfar where the lips of the Baal Tekeah touch, there was gold over there. Why should there be gold? No ye mitzvah. Zekeil van Beil. It's not the fun of a mitzvah. It's no ye mitzvah. So the Gemara asked Akasha, v'hatanya on the top line of Chavzayin and Manalaf. What do you mean? Siper zav v'makam anachas piv posel shlo v'makam anachas apiv. Is kosher? If you have tzipeh zav, if you have a golden coating on top of the shofar, it depends. If it's mishana de kol ha-shofar, if because of the gold coating on the outside, the sound comes out different, so that's a psul of shnayim shlosha shofars. Because of the gold, the sound comes out different. But if the sound is not affected at all, sound is not effective, so then the Mishnah, then the Braisa says it depends. If it's shalom b'makam anachas ha-peh, it's not a problem. If it's b'makam anachas ha-peh, so it's making the shofar longer. So his lips are not really touching the shofar, his lips are touching the gold. So then it's no good. B'makam anachas ha-peh, it's possible, even though it's not mishana de kol ha-shofar. So how can the Mishnah say that in the Beis HaMikdosh they wanted to do a noye mitzvah, so they coated the shofar with gold? And for the Gemara, Amar Abaye, Kitra Nami Masinsh, Shalom B'makam Anochas HaPeh Tanan, yeah? If it's not B'makam Anochas HaPeh, so then, and it's not Mishana the Kol, and it's not an issue of Chatzitza between his lips and the shofar, so then it's okay. The gold. Why shouldn't you say in Kategan Asanegir on the shofar, the gold? I don't know, I guess you're not really using the gold. The gold is just the Hida Mitzvah. There he's using Mamish, the gold, the Big Day Zohov. There he's using it, Mamish. I don't know. Apparently he's not using it for the actual Mitzvah, just Noye Mitzvah, so that's okay. Yeah, I don't know. The Tkiyas are considered Kilifni, but this is only the Noye Mitzvah, I don't know. The Kasha is better than the Terence. Okay, maybe Billy Neder tomorrow will continue here on the top of Chavzayin Amalam. Shtei Chatzoytzis min Hatzdorim. You might say, what do you mean? They blow shofar and Chatzoytzis simultaneously? And they hear everything that's going on? Everybody hears both? How can that be? Okay. Tonight I'll also give a shiur on Inyoni Rosh Hashanah at 9:15 to 10. And the Musa say it's 10 to 10:15. We don't marry with 10:15.